Rebbe, I'm not sure if we skipped six lines on Chaf Zayin and Beis right before the two dots last time. I'm not sure we did Rav Rechan Irchas Legita.
We did a quick look. Yeah, you're right. You're talking right. Okay, we'll quickly go back to that. Okay. Okay, you're right. Okay. He's right. Chaf Zayin and Beis. Let's go back quickly to that and then we'll pick up where we left off. On Chaf Zayin and Beis. First one on is the Rabbanan. It's a little bit, just about halfway down the page. The Gemara was talking about lost Gittin and identifying lost Gittin. So Rav Rabbanan Irchas Legita Be'Midrasha. Rav Rabbanan lost the get in the Beis Medrash. So he's trying to identify it. He gives two different methods of identification. Amar, Isimana Isibigavel. If you're looking for a simin, you want to give a very specific, you know, a hole in the side of a letter, I have that. If you're just asking for tvius ayin, I can't give you a simon. I just don't recognize it. But very often we think about it. How do we know that something is more? How do I recognize something? Can I say that's got that hole, it's got that market? No, just take a look at it. Because tvius ayin, I understood, of course. The Gemara gives a motion. The Gemara says, like, when you identify a person, when you see somebody, oh, I see him. I know that guy. So you start saying, yeah, he's got a dimple over here, he's got a hole in it. Yeah, look at the guy, look at the face, the whole picture gives you the recognize it. So Rav Rechana received the ask for the get back for what if it's a reason? Because he had a specific symbol, because he had a tefillah. So Adroni Ali, so they returned it back to him. So Omar, he said, Lo Yadana, I don't know why they returned it to me. Imishum Simon Ahadua, if they returned it to me simply because I gave an identifying sign, because Sa'av Rishimon, their Isim, then they would be the opinion that identifying something to Simon would be their Isim. Spoke about that about Hashem. So they, in other areas of Allah, if the reason why they returned to me was simply because I in general thought it was mine without, you know, without giving an absolute mark, if that would be the case, the Gemara says in Babatia that if somebody comes and says, I know that animal is mine, so we'll say, I lost an animal, I come and I say, I know that animal is mine. So they said, it was a mark, it was a simon, I can't give you the simon. How do you know? I see this cow, this is my cow. Absolute leash of something, it's my cow. That's what's called Tvius Eina. So the Gemara says, I know the guy's a Tamar Chochom, he's an honest guy, you know, we know him already, so we can assume that he's telling the truth. And some guy, you know, just random guy comes in and says, oh yeah, it looks like my cow. How do you know? Well, I recognize him. So that's not sufficient. So to Rabbi Chana wasn't sure, because the reason why they returned him to get was because of his unique status, they knew that he was telling the truth. Or maybe they did it because of the identifying mark. Okay, good. Okay, let's go back now to Kav Ches of the days. So the Gemara at the top of Kav Ches of the days, it's about 7 or 8 lines from the top. The first one is Chashinon. So the Mishnah had given a whole slew of cases where we rely on the Chazaka, specifically the Cheskes Chayim. You assume the person is still alive. We started out with a case in Gittin. We spoke about Truma. And the third case was a person sends a korban chatos to the Dinas Hayam. So an animal sent, you know, miles away. By the time the animal arrives in the Beis Hamikdash, 6 months later, thank you very much. How do we know? How do we know that the fellow who sent it is still alive? If he's not alive anymore, then it's what we call echatas shemesu be'aleha. And echatas shemesu be'aleha, under no circumstances is permitted to be brought. The Gemara tells us that this halacha of echatas shemesu be'aleha is actually halacha l'moshe v'sinai. The Gemara says that there are a whole series of halacha l'moshe v'sinai that were taught as to what can disqualify a korban chatos, and this is one of them. So the echatas shemesu be'aleha, it cannot be brought, but we don't know whether this person is alive anymore. So the Mishnah says, yes, okay, no problem. You can assume the fellow's alive. So yes, the Gemara, wait a second, we have a technical problem. How can we offer this korban on his behalf, even if he's alive? Baba ina smicha. The halacha is that when you bring a korban chatas, like many other korbanos, you have to lean on the animal. You have to do smicha. You have to put your weight on the animal. And obviously, if the guy's in China and the korban's in Yerushalayim, it's going to be pretty hard to pull that off. So Amar Rav Yosef, the korban noshim. Rav Yossi said, we're talking about a woman, and a woman doesn't have the mitzvah of smicha. He has a fascinating discussion about, even though women do not do smicha in the karbonos, what if a woman wants to volunteer to do smicha in her karbonos? The Gemara quotes machlokes ha-tanaim. That Gemara actually serves as the whole source for the discussion, which mitzvahs are appropriate for women to volunteer, they're exempt from, and which not. But l'maisa, a woman is not obligated to do smicha, and therefore the Mishnah could be talking about that. And Rav Papa says, no, we can talk about another kind of an animal. It's not an animal, it's a bird. So a chadnas of happens not to get smicha. It's based on psukim in Parshat Vayikra. So therefore, that's what the Mishnah will be talking about. But the bottom line is, if you have a carbon that's supposed to have smicha, so we can assume the fellow's alive, but that's not going to solve the problem. We still have to do smicha. Utricha. Now the Gemara just goes on to explain why we had to give three examples of the same principle that a person has the chazaka that he's alive. Why do we need the case of the get, the case of eating truma, and the case of the chatos? The tricha, the yesh b'nei get, if you would have taught just the case of the get, that when a person sends a get in Dinas Hayam, we assume that he's alive, we shouldn't do a lev shir. Otherwise, there's no way. Otherwise, we have tremendous aguna problems. Every time a guy sends a get from a distance, we say, oh, maybe the husband died. And that's not a very good setup. So it's going to be ef shir. About truma de ef shir, let's say you have the second case of the Mishnah, you have a bas yisrael who's married to a kohen. The coin goes away for 10 years. We continue to let the Bas Yisrael eat truma. Why is it such a tzorech? Let her eat chulin. That's compelling. She must eat her truma. So maybe we would think that we should. It would be preferable not to rely on the chazaka. That's what the Mishnah says. No, you can run. You can rely on the chazaka. The Iyashmin and truma, the Zimrin de Loev Shur. So in the case of truma, I understand why we have to rely on the chazaka. But sometimes it's really hard. Sometimes it's difficult. She doesn't have enough money to buy regular food. Truma, it's obviously much cheaper. It's free. So it would be better for her to eat truma. Avachatas, oh, the speaker, leo chul neador. But in the case of the chatas, maybe we shouldn't run to bring the chatas on behalf of the person. Let's wait till he comes back. Why do we want to take a chance of bringing a chatas that's possible? If you bring a chatas that the owner died, that's a total violation of chul neador. You're now allowed to offer something in the base of Mikdash that's not a bona fide carbon. So I would think that maybe we shouldn't rely on the Chazaka. So the bottom line is the Mishnah says, Tachlis, you can rely on the Chazaka in all these cases. And now the next Mishnah picks up what we left off in the previous Mishnah, that primarily we do rely on Chazakas, that a person is alive, but sometimes something can occur that could make us second guess, but the Chazaka is still valid. So that's what the Mishnah describes. Sometimes things occur that do make us question the chazaka, and other times we're still comfortable with the chazaka. So shloshim dvarim amar Rabbi Elazar ben Paritah lefnei chachamim. There were three different statements that Rabbi Elazar ben Paritah said in front of the chachamim. Vekimu es dvarim, and his assessments were accepted lahalacha. What were they? Al ir sheikifua karkam. If you have a city that was surrounded by a siege, so now one can begin to question. Wait a second. We know that this city is under siege. That doesn't bode well. The olden days, you put a siege on a city, there's a very good chance that some of the inhabitants of that city are not going to live very long. So if you have a city that was already surrounded by siege, or we see that there's a boat, we know there's a boat that's having a lot of trouble. The boat's going up and down in the waves, and it looks like it's gonna be a shipwreck. Or if somebody's going to be taken out to be judged for a capital punishment. We know that this is potentially getting the fashos. So in all three of these cases, we have reason to suspect that the chazoka may have changed. The guy was under siege, the guy was in his boat's about to capsize, and the person is on about to be taken out to be judged for getting the fashos. So comes Rabbi Elazar ben Paritah and says, no, shein b'cheses kayamim. They still have a chazoka. These three events have not changed the fundamental chazaka. They're sfeikis, it's true. They create a little bit of a latest sfeik, but that's exactly what a chazaka is, that you follow the chazaka, even though we're in doubt. Aval, the Mishnah says in contrast, there are three things that could happen that have so undermined the chazaka that we now have to assume the person may very well be dead. Yer shekov shekarkum. It's not a city under siege, it's a city that was actually captured. Now we know, whenever the old world is going to capture the city, and who knows who's going to survive this attack. We've actually realized that the boat has gone under. Now the boat's gone under. We have no idea. Maybe we don't know how many lifeboats are here. We don't know how who's going to survive this shipwreck. And a person is not just being taken out to be judged. He was sitting on death row. He was already paskin, that he's already chayev misa. So in all these cases, no still chumre chayev v'chumre meisim. So we have to treat the person who's suffic as being already no longer alive. On the other hand, we can't say that with certainty that he's no longer alive. He has the worst of both worlds. He's a suffic chai, suffic base. What would that mean practically? Bas Yisrael l'kohen, bas kohen Yisrael l'nosach b'tshuva. In any of these cases, if the wife is either a bas Yisrael who's married to this kohen, or she's a bas kohen married to a Yisrael, she cannot eat truma. The halacha is that a bas Yisrael who's married to a kohen eats truma as long as she's married. Or whereas a bas kohen who's married to Yisrael cannot eat truma when she's married, but if she's husband dies and she doesn't have any children, so then she goes back and she eats truma again. The problem is we don't know that this husband is alive or dead. So these women in these situations have literally the worst of both worlds.
It's a naive question, and maybe but just to understand, like the case of Sfina Shamra Shagda Vayam, and cases like 9/11, and cases of the other situation. There is something that I've heard, like Meir Rabbanan that are vatal kedushin or
no. Hetemir Rabbanan can revoke a chayud Rabbi Gershom. It's been a Torah, a man's allowed to have more than one wife. With the Rabbanan, there was a chayud that was made. There's been a Gershom that a person is not allowed to have more than one wife.
So it's only the husband.
Yeah. So that chayud was built in. The Rabbi Gershom built into that chayud a loophole. Because sometimes you have very, very strange, extenuating circumstances which would justify the person taking a second wife. Say, for example, the person's married to a woman, and the woman goes, she converts to another religion, she runs off to the deep end, and she's nowhere around to get a get. That husband's stuck among the rest of his life. So, in those very, very, very strange kind of cases, he built in that head there that if you get 100 rabbanim from three different countries, so you take it very, very seriously. To accept that justify his rights to remarry somebody else, then you're allowed to do that. That doesn't help. It only helps because the issue of marriage to women is only midrabban anyway. It's not midraisa. That's why. So Amar Rav Yosef, lo shara l'beis shay Yisrael. So Yosef now tries to fine tune what the case is. We mentioned one of the examples of somebody who we assume is still alive is if he's being taken out to be judged. We didn't decide yet on him. He's just being on the way to be judged. So Rav Yosef says, "Lo shalom aveizah shei Yisrael." That's only true with a. Rashi says that in the case where it was already decided that he's going to be killed, very possible. Pesach was he's going to be killed. So we said that we're still not sure what's really going to happen. We're always in the back of my mind, maybe somehow get acquitted. So Rav Yosef, that's true by a Beis Din Shei Yisrael. Because a Beis Din Shei Yisrael, there's a locha. Let's say Beis Din already was Doma Din, that somebody's Chayat Misa. And then on the way to take him literally to be killed, somebody comes running and says, wait, I have new information, I have new evidence in the case. So the halacha is you have to bring him back.
Well, the Gemara is Sanhedrin.
So comes the Yosef and says, if it's a Beis Din Shei Yisrael, so then there's a chance, it's not so common as a chance, that they may come and save him at the last minute. But the Beis Din Shalom Tikichad, it's a non-Jewish court, came into Gomelah Dinah Lekhtal, they're not so careful about, they don't want to be bothered, they're very fast, they left and tried their divine. So the odds are that he's going to be killed. So Abaye said, wait a second, even by the non-Jewish court, what do you mean? Also, give a little bribery, okay? A few dollars over to the judge. You never know what's going to happen. So I'm a lay. So Rabbi Yosef said, no. Kishaklay, when do the judges accept bribery? So I love the shavuot of the bribe to the judge. When do the judge accept bribery? The Kishaklay, the lechta persi shanmag. That's before the Persei Shanmag is a Persian term. Rashi says it means basically Psak Din. It means what? That's before it's officially stamped. But Labasa the Mechtam Persei Shanmag, after that Persei Shanmag, the official Persian court, the signed, sealed, and delivered, Lo Shachar. And then even the Gershon court is not going to take any Shachar. So makes sense. When that comes to question, we learned in the Mishnah, Kol Makom Sheyam Dushnai in the Yomru. If two people will come forward and they'll say, "Eden anu esish ploni, shenigma dinim aveizina shaploni, yiploni ploni eidav." to a guy who ran away. And we catch this guy and we're trying to figure out, was he really convicted? Is this the guy who was convicted in the previous Beis Din? So two Adim come and say, we know for a fact that this is the guy who signed Misa. We were there. And the following two people were the Adim who testified against him. So Mishnah says, hurry. So we don't have to do the whole case over again. We already passed that the guy was Chayav Misa. So we killed the person. So he asked the Gemara, wait a second. Said that if you really believe that by a Jewish court, there's a real possibility that they may have turned over the case. But just because two guys are saying that he's Chayav Misa, that means they saw there was a Psak Din. That's not an absolute proof. Maybe there was a Psak Din. And the Psak Din was turned over an hour later. This is the Duma Berech Shayi. Where says, no, he ran away. He knew that there was no way for him really to be acquitted. He had a break out of prison or something. So that's indicative that he's most probably against Chayav. Toshma, show me Beis Din Shel Yisrael. The people overheard a Beis Din Shel Yisrael saying, Ish plodi meis, ish plodi nerag, yesiwas ishto. This is a sugya at the end of Masechet Yevamos about what testimony do we have to know for certain that somebody died in order to be able to let his wife remarry. So nobody saw the person be killed, but we hear people saying as follows, Ish Ploni died, Ish Ploni was killed in such and such a Beis Din. So we hear that lashon, Yesiwas ishto. So then we're allowed to let the wife remarry. That's good enough with Eidos that the person is no longer alive. Mikum terisin shel ovdei yechavim. I can't tell you exactly the source of that word, but it's clearly a non-Jewish word. Rashi says, "Bemunim lehoreg." These are the executioners, the non-Jewish courts. If you hear people saying that ish ploni meis, ish ploni nerag, ayasi ishto, then you cannot trust that in order to let the wife remarry. So Gemara just was analyzing what's the case exactly. What's the buzz? What are people saying exactly? So my meis, my nerag. You lay a meis, mamish, nerag, mamish. If you're telling me that the Olam is saying, people are saying, Namish died, literally he was killed, we know that for a fact. So the Kavasega, what's the difference whether the source is Jews or Goyim? The halacha is that even though Goyim is not usually believed to give testimony, there's a special halacha, the end of the Masechet Yevamos, that even if a non-Jew tells us that somebody died, as long as he's not telling to us as the formal Eidos, as long as he's just kind of schmoozy, he's telling us a story, that's what's called Masiach Lepituba. We assume that the general premise about people's honesty, people are honest unless they have some agenda, unless they have something to gain by lying. So the guy is just, I'm shooting the breeze and telling him, don't believe what I saw yesterday. I saw this guy getting killed. Why is he lying? What does he have to gain to lie? So that's a general premise called Masiach Mitabu. You get somebody to give information. They have no agenda one way or the other. You're simply telling the truth. I always give you the example of this, and I realize that whenever I give this example, anyone like under the age of 35, mama should know I get what I'm talking about. I say that, in the old days, looking around, most of us may still remember those old days, when you were driving somewhere and you got lost. You got lost. What do? So you pulled over, and you ask somebody. Now, very often, the person you're pulled to a gas station, you wouldn't trust this guy for anything. Why do you think that he's telling you the truth as to where, how do you get to the next 40 blocks? So then, why are you lying? What in the world is this guy's pumping gas? Have any reason to lie and say you're the wild goose chase one? So he says, that's the example of Masiach Mitzvah. There's a basic of the human nature. People are truthful. People lie when they have something to gain. But otherwise, why would somebody lie? So I tell this to give this example. The guys who grew up on Waze and GPS, who was last year pulled into a gas station? They don't even know what I'm talking about. So
and
come.
The guy in the gas station
went down. Yeah, the gas station, you have to put it in Waze. So comes the Gemara and says that if the word on the street, even by the goyim, is that this guy mamish died, his mamish killed, so then, why shouldn't they be believed? And Allah, when the Muslim means as follows, Neis means yotze lebus, nera yotze lebus. The lush of the Brice was loved after. It didn't mean he was literally killed, but they actually saw somebody get killed, they saw somebody no longer alive. It means that their shmoo is going to say, we saw this guy, they were about to take him out to be killed. Now we're making the following distinction. We're saying, Miktani, the Beis in Israel, Yesiwas Ishto. So we're saying that in the Jewish court, it's a non-deal, then it's over. And we can assume that he was really killed. So that undermines what we said before. We said before, Yossi said before, that by a Jewish court, you never know. They get acquitted at the last minute. Some guys can come running in on the horse and say, no, I have new evidence and witnesses, and they'll save the day. Whereas by the non-Jewish court, so the game's over. So this Bryce seems to undermine that distinction. This Bryce seems to say that by a Jewish court, that well, it's a done deal. If you heard them saying that it's been taken out to be killed, there's nothing to worry about. The Gemara says, no, we misunderstood the Bryce. The Ola Meis Mamish and Eric Mamish. That we're talking about that the Jews said we literally saw him being killed. We were there at the time of the when he's no longer alive. The Kamras, you asked the question. The Kavasega of the Gichavim, am I low? So why isn't the parallel halacha true by a goy shakur? Why don't we believe the goyim who are saying they saw, we literally saw the guy getting killed? But Kaimel and the Chomasech, the two more Himurim, don't we have a principle that if a goy is done, just stop the breeze, he's telling us a story, so we have no reason to believe that he's lying? And we say, wait a second, this is different. This guy may have reason to lie. Hanibil b'nosav lo shaychiba. That's him. He asked the non-Jew for a direction. So what is he gain? There's no connection to your directions. Like, why the Russian lie? Avav b'nosav lo shaychiba, avni lo shaychiba, shibrayu. But something that's relevant to them, they will lie. So Rashi says, they want to sound like tough guys here. Did you hear about when we did? We bumped this guy off. We killed this guy. We're pretty serious about this. You know, we better be weary of us. You know, it's to their benefit to walk around in the crowd and telling us Sheker that they killed somebody. So we can't be absolutely certain that they're going to be telling the truth. So Ikin the Amri, there was a totally different version of what happened. The whole shot with the Gemara, the last half an Amud, is literally backwards. So the Gemara says Ikin the Amri, Amr of Yossi. Those who said of Yossi said the other distinction. Lo shar over the days of Shalom Dikichavim, that the only time that we're still afraid that maybe the guy's still alive, that's by a Beis Din of Goyim. Because according to this version, the Beis Din of Goyim will take bribes, even though we already decided the guy's supposed to die, except to receive the death penalty tomorrow morning. You never know, a couple of dollars under the table to the judges, you never know what's going to change. About the Beis Din Yisrael, by a Jewish court, came with enough like Dina Lekhtolik Adilat. If he's decided he's going to be killed, he's going to be killed. It's true. It's possible. There's a very, very remote chance someone's going to come running in on the horse at the last second to save the guy. Very, very unlikely. And therefore, we can assume that if the Jewish court decided he's going to be killed immediately. So Amalei Abaye. So Abaye said, Beis Din Yisrael, Nam Yav Shul Chazes Chusa. What do you mean? The Jewish court may find him as chus. They may find something to save him. Says the Gemara, ki chazle is chus. So when is there a chance they can find him as chus? The common in Gemardina. That's before the Gemara did. Boston, the Gemardina, sulo chazle is chus. It's not going to happen. It would happen. In theory, if it happens, then you have to give a guy a second chance. But the odds of that happening are so unlikely, we don't have to be worried about it. So now that the Gemara gave the distinction between the Jewish court is more likely that he's going to be killed, that which was a question in the first version now becomes a proof in the second version. It's a simple flipping of the shittas. Let me say, Ellen, let us support this idea that by a Jewish court, once it's a nigmar din, the game is over. Whenever you have two Edom come and say, we know that Reuben was paskid in the previous Beis Din to be killed, and those were the witnesses. So what's the way he heard? So the Mishnah says that he's going to be killed. So that means we can say with certainty that they didn't find him as close. That's the little shiny, what we used before in the question, in the proof, the disproof now becomes a disproof here also. That no, maybe Barech is shining because he ran away. That makes matters worse. Toshma, Shami Beis and Shayisrael, now the same Bryce that we quoted before. If you heard a Beis and Shayisrael, Shayomim, Ishploni Meis, Ishploni Nera, I guess you was Ishtel. If you heard a Jewish court saying that they killed somebody, then you can assume it's the truth, and his wife can remarry. You come to research, but if it's a Goyish court, Ishpani Meis, Ishpani Nerek, I see what's Ishtel. So we draw a distinction. We say by the Goyim, it's not acceptable. My Meis, my Nerek, what's the case exactly? Ilei Meis, Mamish, if it's talking about that the Goyim are saying he's Mamish, then Nerek Mamish is literally killed. Why not? Why can't we believe the Goyim? We've established that whenever a Goy says something just without an agenda, he's just shooting the breeze, we will accept what he says. So why aren't the Goyim believed? So So it must be that we misunderstood the pshat. When the Brisa says that the people are saying that he died, they don't mean he'll die. They say that he's going to die. He's going to be killed. And we said that by a Jewish court, so we're going to let his wife remarry. So that means this is going to support what we said. So this, which a few minutes ago was a question of what we said, once we flipped what we said, now it becomes a support for what we said. What says, no, we had the wrong pshat. That's talking about that he was literally killed. So why don't we believe the goyim? But we know we do believe goyim on something when the mesiach levitu, when they just stop shmuzing. That's something that the goyim don't have anything to be proud of. They're not trying to get a point across. But it's something that they want us to fear. They want us to think they kill people. So therefore, they may actually be lying. So the bottom line is we have two lashonos of the Gemara. The entire second half of the sugya is just literally a flip, a reverse of the previous part of the sugya. So we start into the next mishnah. Hamevi get Eretz Yisrael. If a shaliach is bringing a get in Eretz Yisrael, and of course we know already back from the first parak, bringing a get in Eretz Yisrael does not have that added dimension of having to say b'fanei nechta. But the shliach has to do it. So if Reuben was appointed as the shliach, he's got to do the job. Now the problem is v'chola. He never can get sick. He can't complete his journey. So what does he do? So I raise a mishal chaviyat acher. So it's understood that he can hand it over to somebody else. In the ikra then we owe that shliach nasa shliach. And one shliach can hand over the reins to another shliach. The Gemara is going to explain a little bit some details that the Baal may not always be thrilled with that. And sometimes the Baal is not going to want Shliach number one to hand it over.
Because he can't cancel.
Well, he could theoretically cancel. It's complicated how he could cancel. That's also in the fourth parak. So comes the Mishnah says, but in a situation where the first thing gets sick, so it's understood that, what do you want from him? It's not his fault. So he's not being lazy. He can't complete the trip. So then it's understood that the Baal is willing to let the Shliach also Shliach. The Amalo. But what if the husband said to the shliach, not just to give the get, totally a man a chepetz ploni, what if he says to the shliach, listen, I want you to bring this get to my wife, and when you're there, I want you to pick up something from her in return. So now, we're very eerie in letting the first shliach hand over the get to the second shliach. Why? Because here the husband likes the first shliach, he trusts the first shliach, he's telling the example, he's saying, I want you to bring this get, but I want you to, bring back $10,000 from the, bring back this item for the wife or something. So then, wait a second, not so simple. Then the first shliach doesn't have a right to hand it over because maybe he doesn't trust the second shliach. So he's not supposed to, because the Baal may not necessarily want that his pikadon, whatever item that the wife's holding on to, he may not be so thrilled with the stranger who did the point as being the shliach. He doesn't want him to have it. So therefore, the first shliach better figure out a way. Better get a rest up, get a full shliach, better figure out a way to finish the journey. Stop here.
But you should have already wood burst.
Yeah,
the street was not on ways.